Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
All right, well, once again, good morning. You guys ready to get after it? I hope you, I got like one yes. The rest of you are like, I'm not even really sure what that means. I haven't heard that at church before, and I'm freaking out a little bit. We are starting the new year with a new sermon series, and I'm just going to let you know we're going to come out swinging. We are going to come out swinging for the fence, contending for the fullness of God's plans and purposes for your life, for our life as a church family. We want to see a vibrant, thriving, fruitful life, and we know that we've got to contend for that, that that just doesn't happen by happenstance or accident. And so we are coming out swinging, and we're beginning a sermon series this morning that we are entitled Facing Giants. Facing Giants. And we're going to be talking about some of the big giant obstacles and oppositions and kind of spiritual strongholds that we face just in our personal lives and that really challenge our faith. And we're going to be talking about how to face those and what to do in light of those. But before we even begin to talk about how to respond to those types of challenges, those types of oppositions, those type of strongholds or kind of giants in our path, before we begin to even try to understand how to approach those types of situations, we're going to talk this morning about how to identify them. Because what I found is a lot of times we can mistake a spiritual stronghold, spiritual opposition, or kind of a giant in our path, an obstacle to our faith, we can mistake that sometimes for just kind of natural things that we need to endure. And there is a tendency at times for us to also be going through places where God is trying to challenge and stretch us and grow us, and we will misassign that to be some type of spiritual warfare that we need to be in opposition to. And so before you begin to attempt to combat opposition or spiritual challenges, before you begin to kind of fight for fruitfulness in your life, you really need to know who the enemy is and how to approach it, how to discern whether what you're dealing with is something that is kind of a natural stretching and growth, part of the process of you maturing, and what is actually hindering your faith and your way forward. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning because we've got to be able to identify our giants. We've got to be able to identify the strongholds that need our attention before we can actually begin to contend for breakthrough and kind of moving forward. And I believe that at times it's difficult for us to discern whether or not we are going through a challenge or a difficulty that is part of the refining process of our growth versus something that is looking to impede our faith. And I find that my tendency to have difficulty in that is usually because I'm relying on my own understanding. I'm looking at the situation of my life, and I'm trying to make an assessment, and I'm leaning into what I know, what I've experienced, what I found to be true maybe before. And so I'm relying more on that than I am on the discernment of the Holy Spirit and kind of the leading of the Lord, the prompting of a way forward. We recently had some vehicle problems with my wife's Highlander. It's a Toyota Highlander. It's a hybrid. And this last summer, we redid the heating and the cooling system. And so everything's been great. And then all of a sudden, we could feel the temperature of the heater kind of starting to drop a little bit. And this is not the time where you want the heater not to work, right? We found ourselves in the summer, the heater was working great and the air conditioner wasn't, and now, you know, the opposite was what we were going through, having actually attended to that repair. And so I started trying to troubleshoot this in my own thought, because I would take it out and I would drive it, and kind of at speed, or if I was kind of hammering down on the accelerator, all of a sudden I would get the heat and it would be coming through. And then if I was coasting, or if I was just kind of going at a moderate speed, like, it would drop and it would just be kind of cold. It would just be pulling air in from the outside. And so I began to kind of troubleshoot all the things that I know, having had older vehicles when I was younger. And so I'm thinking about, okay, is this an issue with the heater core? Is this the issue with maybe the thermostat? As somebody who was kind of wanting to make sure that I made the right decision, I did what all young men should do. I called my dad, And I said, hey, Pops, I need some help here. And so I started to describe to him what was going on. And he's like, man, I'm not really sure, partner. Some of those things sound like they could be all right. Or, you know, it could be like a vacuum hose, you know, that isn't working right. You're not getting the proper kind of stuff. And so I was kind of left with, well, I'm not really sure what to do with this. And so he gave me great, great wisdom. He said, you know, I think you should Google it. He said, if you Google it, I'm like, I'm coming to you like this wise old sage, and you're supposed to, and he's like, why don't you Google it? I'm getting the same thing that I'd get from a teenager, right? Just Google it. And he said, if you do that, you'll probably find some conversations and some forums, some similar things, and maybe you'll be able to diagnose what's going on. And so I took his wise sage old advice, and I typed into my Google search bar kind of what was going on with my vehicle, and I did. I found a forum where there was a conversation going on, and some people had troubleshot the same issue with the same make, the same model. And what we found was we had a very simple fix, and that is the antifreeze coolant in my vehicle was low. That was the only problem. I went out and I bought a $20, you know, gallon of the stuff, and I filled it up, and now the heater works fine. But without a proper diagnosis, I can tell you what I would have done. I would have purchased a thermostat, and I would have tried to figure out how to put that in a foreign hybrid vehicle, you know, with no manual. I was just going to wing it. I was just going to go for it. And I would have began to go through the process, because that would have solved the problem on my 78 Chevy Malibu Classic station wagon from high school, right? And so I would have been just leaning into my own understanding, and I would not have been addressing the real root cause of things. And a lot of times what happens is when we start dealing with difficulty and even facing maybe things that we would think are giant oppositions to our faith, if we don't go through the work of discerning what's going on and really attending to root causes, we end up trying to put patches on symptoms and wondering why things don't ever get better, why we don't see breakthrough, why we don't see fruitfulness, and why we seem to be revisiting kind of the same things or the same challenges as a theme in our life. And so we've got to take the time to really discern what we're facing so that we're not addressing just symptoms or things that are uncomfortable in our lives, rather than dealing with roots that need to be removed so that we can have fruitfulness. And so if we don't make the right diagnosis, we can actually even begin to resist our own healthy growth, because we're misidentifying these places of stretching and maturity as places of opposition. And so we're going to look at an Old Testament passage today, and it's going to tell a story. For many of you, if you grew up in the church, you're going to be familiar with it, but it's going to tell a story that I think illustrates some questions that we can ask and some things that we can begin to look for when it comes to dealing with real, legitimate spiritual opposition in our life. We're going to talk about this morning, how do we identify giants that we face, or how do we identify strongholds in our lives that need to be addressed? And the reason why we can use stories from Scripture to do that is because the tactics that were used by the opponents of the people of God in Scripture are the same tactics that the enemy uses to bring opposition to your life. And the reason why that is because it's the same source. It's always the same source that is looking to oppose the things of God in our lives. In John 10:10, when Jesus says that the thief comes only to what? To steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. That is the kind of the nuts and bolts of the journey of faith. There is one who is always looking to diminish, mar, scar, steal away, minimize the things of God in your life, and there is one that has come to bring it all to fruition and fruitfulness. And so we're constantly caught in kind of this in-between place where we have to navigate these things. The Message version of John 10 says that the life that Jesus wants to bring is that he would bring real and eternal life, better life than they ever dreamed of. That the goal for Christ at work in us is to bring us into the fullness of abundant life that God has on offer to us. And that at all ends, there is an enemy who brings opposition that says, I want less than that for you. I want to diminish that. I want to make sure that that is somehow lessened. And if I can take it away completely, then I will do that as well. And so the tactics that the enemy uses, when you look at the Old Testament stories and even New Testament narratives, what you see is you see the same spiritual tactics over and over and over and over again as people of faith are being moved by the Spirit of God to step into the promises that he has for them, and there is opposition that comes against that. And so what we're going to look at, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look at the story. If you grew up in the church, this is the story of David and Goliath. There is a tendency for us to believe that everybody's read this story and everybody's familiar with it, but more and more research on just the cultural norms of where we're at, we don't actually know the stories of the Bible that we would say are supposed to be pretty familiar. So we're going to look at this with fresh eyes, and we're only going to take a little portion this morning because we're going to take a couple weeks to unpack this because it's so rich with spiritual truths. But we're going to be looking this morning about this interaction between the Philistines and the people of God, and we're going to be looking at how can we begin to discern when the opposition against us is spiritual. How can we begin to recognize the giant in front of us so that we will know how to attend to partnering with God to dismantle that stronghold in our lives? And so if you've got your Bible, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and pull it out, lift it up. You may already be at 1 Samuel chapter 17. You can grab your phone, your tablet, open up your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your living word today. Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage, the strength, and the leading of your Holy Spirit to act on it, to put it into practice, Lord, to apply the principles of your word to our life because we know that it leads to fruitfulness. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you've got a Bible that's got headings in it, it'll say David and Goliath. But this isn't the first time that you've been introduced to David. If you are on a Bible reading plan and you're kind of working your way through, you would know that he is introduced in chapter 16, where Samuel goes and has anointed him as the next king. There's a lot of great movement going on in the life of David, and the Spirit of God is on him, and it's being demonstrated. And now you get to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and what happens is it begins to outline a very familiar narrative in the life of the people of God, and that is that they faced a very real opposition in battle. And time again, the antagonist in many of the early Old Testament narratives is this group of people called the Philistines. They were constantly at odds and in warfare with the people of God. And so there's this kind of familiar theme where they are once again coming to this place of battle. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the very first part of verse 1, it says, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war." And again, this is not a new thing. They would constantly harass and line up against and look to be in opposition to the people of God. And there were different kind of seasons in the life of the people where the Philistines would have the upper hand and they would be overrunning the nation of Israel. And then there were times where the nation of Israel would be delivered by the Lord and they would drive these enemies back. But there was kind of this to and fro that was a constant taking place. And this is during the reign of King Saul. And so the Philistines, they gather out and they line up and it's like, all right, it's game day. It's time to go, right? It's wild card playoffs. Some of us are saying hallelujah to some of the results yesterday, and you know who you are. Nobody here likes the Patriots, right? Wasn't that some good news? All right, so it's game day. They're lining up. They're getting ready to go. And verse 3 tells us that the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, and there was a valley between them. And if you're somebody who knows anything about kind of a battle or warfare, you know that the high ground is the preferred ground. And so each encampment took a high ground and there was a valley in between. And so now it's just like this waiting game. Who's going to do what, right? Who's going to come down and try to attack the other stronghold, or are they going to decide to kind of meet in the middle? And so it lays out kind of this stalemate as they've got a show of force on either side of the hill and they begin to kind of posture themselves in opposition to one another. And as you get to verse 8, there's a man who is identified as Goliath who comes out and he kind of becomes the spokesman for the Philistines. And it says that Goliath stood and he shouted at the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Right? That sounds like a fair trade. Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. This seems just the way that I presented to you as maybe an irrational type of a response, right? So you line up, it's battle day, it's game day, and you're on the hill, you've got your high ground, the opponent has theirs, and you've got one chump who's got a loud mouth who comes out and just starts talking smack. And what you get at the end of it is after he's gone about just kind of his pompous display, it says that all of Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now, what's the deal with that? And the deal with that is Goliath wasn't just a regular Philistine. He wasn't just one of the ranks. He was somebody who had been recognized as a mighty warrior. And the verses preceding the ones that I read to you actually describe who he was physically, and that Goliath was from Gath. He was part of the Philistine army, and it says that he was over 9 feet tall. Now, that is a significant opponent. And sometimes when we read things in Scripture, and it seems almost like almost unreal, right? Almost unbelievable. We might begin to think that maybe there's a tendency to kind of stretch, or maybe this story became something that maybe he was larger than life. But there are individuals right now that are stretching those types of marks. In fact, the tallest man in recorded history with irrefutable evidence is a man named Robert Wadlow. He was an American, and he was 8 feet 11 inches, and they've got that verified. That's pretty much 9 foot, right? Do the math. Okay, and then right now, 2018, there is a man in Turkey who is 8 feet 2.85 inches. They've got it lined down there. They want to get him as high as they can. And so it's not really that much of a stretch of the imagination to believe that somebody could be over 9 feet as Goliath was indicated in Scripture. But if you want to be super safe and comfortable, just make it 8 foot 11, all right? You know, take the inch away, that's fine. But so Goliath was incredibly tall, and this is how it describes him, that he had a bronze helmet on his head. And bronze would have been a more weightier type of metal. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, so his coat of mail was bronze. And the bronze coat that he wore was 125 pounds, right? That's how much his shirt weighed. It talks about the length of his spear shaft and that the iron spearhead on the end of his spear, that spearhead weighed 5 pounds in and of itself, right? Some of you have started your New Year's resolutions. You've gone to the gym, and you're starting with the 5-pound weights. Oh, and it's wearing you out. Put that on the end of a stick and think if you can kind of wield that effectively as a weapon. That was who Goliath was. And so he came out, and he was somebody who really terrifying. And he came out, and he intimidated the people of God. And as you get to verse 16, it says that this wasn't just a one-time thing. For 40 days, every morning, he came out to talk smack. Every night, he came out to issue his challenge. And so there was this constant 40 days of the Israelites being paralyzed in fear with where they were. And when he would come out and put his show of force, it said that the people of God would always retreat, that they would always move back up to their safe place, and they would always retreat to their high place. And what happens is, as the narrative begins to move on, there's a shift from what's taking place in Israel. There's a shift from the battle lines to what's going on behind the scene, and we're reintroduced to David. And David is young. At this point, some commentators would put him like right around 16. Just put him in his teenage years and you would be safe, bet there. He's the youngest son of Jesse, and he is home alone. His three oldest brothers are part of Saul's army. His three oldest brothers are a part of this group who every day are being intimidated by the enemy. And David is kind of going back and forth. He's got a music job with Saul at the time, and so he's coming back and forth playing some harp worship music for Saul, and he's going back and taking care of his father's sheep, and that's kind of what he's doing. And now it says that Jesse is going to send David with kind of a care package for his brothers, so to speak. And so in verse 20, at the beginning of that verse, it says, "Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of the shepherd. loaded up, and he sent out as Jesse directed him. His dad made a care package and said, hey, take this to your brothers on the front line. And so here David comes, having gone back and forth between Bethlehem and the front lines, and now he's coming with this care package. And he gets there, and as he's kind of unpacking, as he's looking to find his brothers, what has been happening for 40 days happens like clockwork again. Goliath comes out and speaks and issues his challenge. And David is seeing the effect on individuals, and he's watching the men retreat, but there's something in him that responds differently. As he was talking with them, this is being David speaking to his brothers and the men around him. It says, Goliath the Philistine, champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. And whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. But David asked, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let me paraphrase this for you. Who is this chump that would come out and talk smack about my living God? There was a different response in David. And here I believe is the reason why. He recognized the spiritual root of what was going on. See, for us to look at David and say he's 16 and he sees a 9-foot giant that he somehow is going to be like offended by, and he's going to go out and he's going to go ahead and address in hand-to-hand combat, right? We might say that's courageous, but a courageous decision to do the wrong thing isn't courage, it's foolishness. He could have, in rash, impetuous zeal, ran out and decided, you know what, I'm just going to handle this myself. I'm going to make a name for myself. You know, I'll show you guys how to do this. I'm not afraid. And that could have ended really, really poorly. So why did he respond the way that he did? I believe that he recognized the spiritual root of what was taking place there. This wasn't a new thing. Right, the opposition, the battle with the Philistines, that constant to and fro between Israel and the Philistines, that wasn't new. This isn't like a one-time surprising thing. This was kind of a natural rhythm of what took place in the region. Consistently, they were constantly going out and having to drive the enemy back and sometimes giving up ground and kind of having the upper hand back and forth. It was like a rivalry, you know, with death on the line. So it wasn't like this new thing. It wasn't something that was surprising. It was kind of the way that things, in essence, were. But I want you to note how David responded versus what we know Goliath was saying. The words that are recorded of Goliath is when he came out, right? When Goliath came out, he said this, am I not a Philistine, and aren't you, let's look at this verse, it's in that verse 8, and are you not servants of Saul? And I think right there is the thing that offended David. I think that he recognized the spiritual nature of what was taking place, because the people of God were not the servants of Saul. They were the servants of Yahweh. He recognized that the challenge that was being issued there, the diminishment of their identity, the challenge that was being levied, was not somehow just a challenge of superior fighting strength. But there was a diminishment of the person and nature and character of God. And that is what offended David. If they would have came out and just said, hey, Saul stinks, you know, he's not good at, you know, throwing his javelin. Like, I don't think that David responds in this way. But because he recognized that there was a spiritual root cause to the opposition here, he recognized that this battle didn't have anything to do with a 9-foot man with a spear and a shield. He recognized that this was wholly spiritual. And you see that as you read the rest of the story, and we'll unpack that next week, about how David ends up responding. Because when David goes and says, you know what, I'm going to take care of this. People heard him ask this question, who does this guy think he is talking smack against the people of God? And it gets to Saul, and Saul brings him in, and David says, you know what, I'm going to take care of this. And there's a whole conversation back and forth about whether or not that's possible or whether Saul would let him go, and kind of how that dialogue went. And again, we'll look at that in the future. But as that conversation's going and he's being challenged, what makes you think that you can do this? David goes back to, this is who God is and what he has always done in my life. And in every place that I needed to protect those that were in my care, God delivered me. And this is going to be the exact same thing, because he recognized that it wasn't a physical challenge that was being issued. He recognized that it was spiritual. They were not the servants of Saul. They were the people of God. And because of that issue, on that identity marker, he stood and responded. And in his response to Saul, as he begins to talk to him, he says that the Philistine has defied the armies of the living God. David's not concerned about Saul and his reputation. David's not concerned about the show of force or the military might. David is concerned about the reputation of God. And David knew who God was because he had had that demonstrated in his life. And what I want to do is I want to unpack a few things just really briefly. I want to give you 6 questions to ask when you're going through difficulty, when you're kind of facing a stretching, when you're dealing with conflict, when you seem to feel like the press of opposition in your life, and you're trying to discern, is this a giant opposing my faith? Is there a spiritual root behind this? Because there's things in life that just aren't comfortable and don't necessarily have a spiritual root to them. And there's times where if I'm arguing with my kids or I'm feeling annoyed with people, there's times that it's just I need a Snickers and a nap, right? I mean, there's some natural things going on there. And then there's times where there's things that are going on inside of you where you're agitated in your spirit because there's something sinister taking place in the unseen that you can recognize or sense intuitively in your spirit as you are relying on the Spirit of God that you can't quite put your finger on, but you need to recognize. Or you'll go and get a thermostat when you need to address some other issue. And so we need to be able to recognize when we are really dealing with giants and oppositions in our life. And there's some questions that come out of the way that Goliath postured himself and the way that he challenged the people of God, that if we ask these questions, I think that they help us give clarity. And so let me give you 6 questions to discern whether or not you are dealing with a spiritual stronghold. All right, question number one, if you are a note taker, you need to write these 3 things or these 6 questions down. You need to revisit them this week. Number one, you need to ask this question: in what areas of your life are you experiencing fear? In what areas of your life are you experiencing fear? When Goliath came out and he brought out his challenge, it says that the people of God were terrified. And this is not the only story where there's a showdown between the forces of the kingdom of God and the forces of darkness, where fear somehow is a prime player in what's taking place. In fact, it's one of the main tactics that the enemy would use to disrupt the things of God in your life. Where are you experiencing fear? And not just like fear of maybe the unknown or, you know, a fear of loss, although those things can take place. But the type of fear that paralyzes you from taking steps of faith. Because that's what's taking place here. As they're looking at the natural opposition and as the issue of challenge is being given, they are drawing back. They're not moving forward. And so if you're going through a season of difficulty, if you've got some discomfort going on in your life, if you feel like you are facing challenges, take a little test on how you are approaching that, and is there a fear that is paralyzing you from taking steps of faith in that area? If that's the case, you may be dealing with a spiritual stronghold. You may be dealing with a giant that needs to be dealt with, not in the natural, but in the supernatural, because what is being challenged is the plans and purposes of God in your life, not just the comfort of your day-to-day. We need to be able to ask that question. Number 2, where is your identity in Christ or your self-worth or value in Christ, where is that being questioned? See, because as the enemy came forward, he said, you guys are not the people of God. You're just the servants of Saul. You're just an earthly king's lackeys. You're just his, his little do-bitters. But that was not the identity that they had. And that's not how David understood their identity as a people. He said, we are the armies of the living God. He didn't have any room for we're the servants of Saul. And oftentimes when you're dealing with giants of opposition to your faith, somewhere in there is very often a voice that is telling you you're not who you are. You're not forgiven. You're not redeemed. You're not valued. You're not worth it. You're the exception to all of the other rules of grace. Grace is available for everybody but you because you used up your last chance the last time you fell short. It's a voice of condemnation. It's a voice of diminishment and belittlement. And when you begin to hear those types of things, very often there is a spiritual root to what you are facing, and you need to address that. Scripture tells us that we need to put on the new self and to be renewed in the attitudes of our minds, that there has to be something that takes place in us. And very often, the first place that we are dealing with opposition to the things of God in our life is it's not in just kind of what's going on around us. Very often, it begins in our hearts and in our minds. What are we choosing to believe and what are we choosing to listen to? And the enemy will come and he will taunt you and taunt you and taunt you. And he will tell you you're not enough, you've never been enough, and you'll never be enough. And the things that are God's plans and purposes for you that are so grandiose that you can't imagine them for yourselves, you might as well just give up even thinking about them because they will never come to pass. That is all baloney. That is the voice of the enemy. That is a pompous, taunting show of force that has nothing behind it. Has nothing behind it. And so when you are in a place where your identity is being challenged, your identity in Christ is being diminished, you need to be alerted to the fact that, hey, what's going on here? This isn't just a simple disagreement with somebody at work. This isn't just a miscommunication, with my friends or with my family. This isn't just some kind of misunderstanding or just kind of some normative bump in the road in this relationship. No, there's something behind this that needs to be addressed. Number three, where are you repeatedly facing the same issue? Write this down. Where do you keep coming back to the same thing? And maybe it's not the same expression of it, but there's this same theme. For 40 days, Goliath came out and talked smack, and for 40 days, the people of God ran away and hid because they couldn't recognize that there was a spiritual opposition there. They couldn't recognize that there was a spiritual battle. All they could see was the enemy, and the enemy is bigger and stronger. All they could see was what was taking place in the natural, and we're not really sure what to do about this. And it wasn't until David, who I believe saw the spiritual significance of the challenge, knew that the challenge wasn't being issued against their military might. The challenge was going to be issued against God, the living God. Can I tell you something? You will face challenges in your own strength, your own ability, your own resources, your own might. And you know what? Those challenges should be things that if you address in your own strength, your own resource, your own might, you should have some hesitation too, because there is a limit to that. But can I tell you, there is no one, there is no thing, there is no idea or opposition that can challenge the living God and that can somehow overcome him. Like, as soon as you recognize that the thing that you're wrestling with in your life, the thing that you're fighting with, as soon as you recognize that what's at stake is not you and your discomfort, but there is something that is somehow trying to tell you that it can overcome the living God, man, there is something in you that should come alive with that, because you cannot lose then. You cannot lose when it is God on the line. He does not lose. And so there's something in it. If you keep hitting the same issue, if you keep running into the same thing, and in your best efforts, your best strength, your best use of resource, your best ideas, man, they just keep coming to nothing. Can I tell you something? There's probably something spiritual behind that, and you're relying on your own understanding, or you're doing it in your own strength, and you will keep banging your head against that wall. There is one who will speak, and the walls will come down. And we need to rely on him. We need to recognize that. And sometimes we don't make that distinction. We look at we keep hitting the same wall. And then I've literally heard people say this, well, you know what, this is just my cross to bear. Okay, can I tell you that? There are some things that you have to bear up under, but Jesus bore the cross. Now, Scripture says, take up your cross and follow me, but that has to do with laying down your life in following after the Lord. That isn't him heaping weight on you so somehow you can show yourself to be approved. He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will take those and I will give you rest. You are not meant to just bang your head against the wall. You are meant for breakthrough. You are meant to walk into freedom, into victory. And so when you find a place in your life where, man, there's this common theme here, and you know what? It could be that today you just realize, man, there's something wrong. I just keep hitting the same thing. If you will realize that it's spiritual opposition, if you will realize it's a giant opposing the things of God in your life, you will approach it differently than just a New Year's resolution where you're just going to try better this time. You will contend for breakthrough, and you'll stop dealing with symptoms, and you'll start looking for roots that need to be uprooted so that you can move into fruitfulness. Three other questions that have to do with recognizing whether you are facing a giant or you're dealing with opposition that really has a spiritual root in your life. So question number four is this: where are the promises of God being challenged? Where are the promises of God being challenged in your life? Where doubt is being cast on the things that God has said are assured in Him. And this could have everything to do with the way that you regulate your finances. Believing that God is the one who provides and honoring Him with stewardship is the best way to fruitfulness. And this could have everything to do with the identity that you have in Christ and the words that you allow to be spoken over you and the things that you entertain true about yourself and everything in between. But where are the promises of God being challenged? If the promise of God is being challenged, can I tell you that is not just a natural discomfort? It's not just a natural occurrence. There is something that is challenging the faithfulness of God to His word. And that does not come from the natural. That does not come from the creation towards the Creator. That comes from the enemy. Question number five: where are the principles of God being repeatedly compromised? This one's going to sting a little bit. If there is a place in your life that you have gotten comfortable compromising on the principles of God, where you've gotten comfortable compromising in the way that you live or the activity that you're a part of, you've gotten comfortable excusing away that thing as something that is little, can I tell you that there is probably a spiritual stronghold at the root of that? And you've convinced yourself that it's small enough to not really need to be dealt with. You've convinced yourself that you can stop at any time. You convince yourself that everyone else is doing that, or you convince yourself that it's not really that big of a deal. But I can tell you that when we get comfortable with repeated compromise, very often once we begin to be awakened to the fact that it is unhealthy for our lives, and we say, well, it's just a little thing, I'm not going to do it anymore, you know what we find out? We can't stop. Because it's not a little thing. That there is an underlying root of bondage that keeps us from moving forward. And if the Spirit of God would quicken to your heart today a place that you've just kind of, you know, I've got this habit, you know, I keep coming back to this same little thing, but you know what? It's all right. Can I tell you that there's probably something deeper there, and you may unearth a giant that you'll have to fight. And you can't do that in your own strength. You can't do that on your own. You're going to need to do that in the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and you will probably need other believers to come alongside you, not just to hold you accountable, but to encourage you on, to press through that, because what has been a minor compromise in your life has become a deep-rooted stronghold, and it will take work if you want to see the freedom there. Number six, last question to ask: where is the character of God being brought into doubt? Where is the character of God being brought into doubt? Those places in your life that are tied to identity or tied to promise, and there's kind of this thought of, you know what, well, maybe God's not going to come through, or maybe God isn't who He said He was, or maybe God's word isn't true. All of those things are indicative that there is a spiritual opposition to what is being experienced. And so those six questions, if as we go into this series, as we start talking about how to face giants, you need to know whether or not you've got something in front of you. You need to know whether or not you've got a stronghold or a place that you need to be looking to discover those things. These six questions can be really helpful. Where are you experiencing fear that paralyzes your faith? Where is your identity in Christ being questioned? Where are you repeatedly coming back to the same issue in your life? Where are the promises of God being challenged? Where are the principles of God being repeatedly compromised? And where is the character of God being brought into doubt? If you and I will do the hard work, because it's not comfortable to ask these questions with honesty, it's certainly more difficult and uncomfortable to ask these questions with the Holy Spirit guiding us in our answers. But if we will begin to ask these honest questions with the Lord and to discern whether or not the things that we're facing have a spiritual root in opposition, recognizing the enemy for who he is the first step in being able to address the roots of bondage and stronghold in our life. And I want to leave you just with one encouragement, because we're not getting to the how-to today. We're getting to the how do you understand or recognize or identify these difficulties in our lives. We don't really have a step to act on to actually start dismantling these strongholds yet. I'm dangling that. You got to come back next week if you want to see victory. But I want to remind you of something about the way that the enemy approaches you and I and the way that Jesus views us in light of that. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, there's a space in Matthew's narrative where he talks about kind of an overarching theme in Jesus's ministry. And he says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Now I want you to look at this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Can I tell you that if you are facing difficulty in your life, Jesus has compassion? If you've got a giant who comes out in the morning and taunts you about the promises of God, if you've got a voice that haunts you in your heart that tells you that you are irredeemable, that you are unlovable, that all the promises of God are for others but not for you, if you stand there and you see the great pomp and display of strength on behalf of the enemy and you don't believe that there's a way to break through because you don't measure up, can I tell you that regardless of what type of giant or stronghold that you are facing, when Jesus looks at you, listen to me, he has compassion on you. And even if that stronghold in your life is your own making, even through your own willful rebellion and disobedience and repeated compromise, that you have built a bondage for yourself, that you've built your own cell and you've closed yourself into it, that even when it's our own making, Jesus doesn't look on us and say, well, you know, you kind of deserve that. He always looks on you and I with compassion. And he sees us for who we are. We are harassed by the enemy on all sides, that we are pressed in and closed in by darkness, that the enemy of our soul prowls like a roaring lion looking for who he is going to devour, that the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And Jesus never looks at you and says that you did that to yourself and it's all your fault. He looks on you with compassion. And when we turn to him, he brings healing. He brings deliverance. He brings salvation. As the crowds came to Jesus, as he went through the towns, he healed them of every disease and sickness and declared to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As we go through this series together, can I tell you that Jesus sees you with a heart of compassion and he will bring victory. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, worship team, if you would come forward. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just briefly. And I'm going to ask these questions to you and just let you really answer these with the Spirit of God. Let's quiet our hearts and allow him to speak to us this morning. But if there's an area in your life where you are experiencing fear and it's keeping you from moving forward with steps of faith, I want you to just put your hands out in front of you and offer that area to the Lord. If there's a place in your life where your identity in Christ is being challenged, where you are in your heart and in your mind becoming convinced that somehow you don't have worth or value, that the things of God are for others and not you, that your identity in Christ is something that you're beginning to doubt and question, I would ask that you just put your hands out in front of you, offer that to the Lord. Is there a place in your life where you keep hitting the same wall, you keep dealing with the same theme? It's the same thing, different person, same thing, different place. And you're discerning this morning that there's something spiritual behind that and there's a need for maturity and growth and breakthrough and freedom. Offer that to the Lord. Lord, we bring you the concerns of our heart. Lord, we bring you these things that really loom like giants in our path. Lord, we bring you those places where the enemy stands on his high place and tries to intimidate, to taunt, to challenge your goodness in our life. Lord, he's done it from the very beginning to bring challenge, to bring doubt to your promises and your goodness. And Lord, we ask that you would renew our hearts and renew our minds today, that you would give us eyes that see, that you would give us a discerning heart. Lord, that we would recognize these things for what they are, and that we wouldn't draw back at the show of strength of the enemy, that we wouldn't draw back in fear, somehow just looking at the natural and kind of weighing out the possibilities, but Lord, that we would see the spiritual battle for what it is. And Lord, that we would know that when a challenge is issued to the living God always meets that challenge. That when a challenge is issued to the living God, that he always overcomes the enemy. Lord, strengthen our hearts and our minds that we would side with you, that we would stand with you. And Lord, as we come out swinging this year, believing for breakthrough and fruitfulness in our lives, Lord, give us not just the courage and strength, but the discernment to know when we are facing giants. And in the coming weeks, Lord, teach us how to do that in a way that partners with you for the plans and purposes in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Three action steps this week. You can grab your smartphone or tablet, snap a picture of them. Number one, I want to encourage you to read 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's going to be the whole David and Goliath story, because that'll actually help you for next week as we unpack some more details in this. Begin to pray for discernment in areas of challenge and difficulty in your life. Is this just kind of a natural kind of day-to-day thing that you got to deal with, or is there something spiritual behind it? And then choose to respond in courageous faith.